Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio. I'm Teresa Chung, dream decoder, spiritual growth expert, and your guide to the hidden wisdom of your inner world. Each week, we explore how your nighttime dreams, daydreams, and waking intuitions hold powerful messages for healing, insight, manifesting, and personal transformation. Even just by listening each week, you'll start tuning in more deeply to your own inner voice, waking up with greater clarity, purpose, a sense of connection to the invisible strings in your life, and dreams and gratitude for them on your mind. So join me weekly, live or on demand, and just like a dream, expect the unexpected. Hello and welcome, dreamers, to another illuminating live episode of The Healing Power of Your Dreams on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. I'm your host, Teresa, dream expert, author, and eternal student of the extraordinary world we all enter when we close our eyes. Each week, we dive into the sacred language of dreams, how they guide, heal, and inspire us and awaken us to who we truly are. And as this is a live broadcast going out on November the 5th, Guy Fawkes Night here in the UK, I should probably start by saying to our wonderful international listeners, especially our guest today across the pond, that if you hear any bangs or booms during the show, don't worry. It's not dream thunder or a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. It's just Britain remembering with fireworks that we once foiled a plot to blow up the government. So while everyone outside is lighting bonfires, we'll be igniting a few inner fireworks of our own tonight, because our conversation is sure to spark some truly illuminating ideas about consciousness, transformation, and the future of humanity. But before we meet today's remarkable guest, let me share a little dream decoding hack that's one of my favorites, something simple yet surprisingly powerful. When you wake up from a vivid dream, resist the urge to interrupt it straight away. Instead, move your body in the way the dream made you feel. If you were flying, stretch your arms and take a deep breath as if lifting off. If you were running, take a few steps forward and feel the energy in your legs. This simple act helps anchor the dream's energy into your waking world, bypassing logic and letting your body remember what your soul was trying to tell you in your night vision. Dreams are embodied wisdom, and that's exactly what today's special guest understands so profoundly. She's someone who has dedicated her life to exploring the hidden truths of our world and the vast potential within the human spirit. A pioneering broadcaster, author, and the brilliant host of Open Minds on Gaia TV, she has just co-authored a best-selling book with intuitive teacher Lee Harris called Future Human, a visionary guide to the consciousness shift already underway on our planet. So dreamers, on this night of sparks and awakening, please join me in welcoming a true trailblazer of thought and spirit, the extraordinary visionary and beautiful Regina Meredith.
Teresa, thank you so much for such a wonderful introduction. And I am so honored to be here on such an illustrious day for Brits. I'm an Anglophile, you know, I spend a fair amount of time in Britain. I have a lot of British friends. So I get the Guy Fawkes thing. So I love it. We have explosions in the background. I love it.
I can't pull your leg that you don't understand it, but I do know you've told me before that you get recognized here now because you're
quite
you're,
a bit.
Yeah. Regina.
You know, interestingly, I mean, it does happen in America when I'm in an airport or out and about, but I actually, England seems much more lit up to this kind of work than America in terms of just the sheer number of people that come up to me on whether it's on the tube or in a shop or wherever in my hotel. Yeah. Yeah.
We're ready. So, and the fact that UK Health Radio exists, as I say, it was
fabulous.
Mainly about mind and body well-being, but now we've got the soul and the opportunity to talk to visionaries like you, Regina. But let's talk about you a little bit. You've spent decades exploring the frontiers of consciousness and alternative knowledge. But looking back, what first sparked your curiosity about the unseen?
Well, I think I had an innate interest. I always had, I'm a Scorpio, so of course I had an innate
Say no more,
interest
let's
in it.
move on.
Let's move on. I like to know what's underneath things. I like the mystery. I mean, I wasn't one of those little kids that woke up and was born even illuminated. Like some of the guests I have on my shows, they could see from a very early age. For me, it was an unfolding process, each thing unfolding as I was ready for it. And that became very clear to me. And so I would say it didn't really start till my 20s and my very, very first meditation. I just knew there was so much more, and I was aching to find it, but I didn't even know where to look. This was a long time ago. And so my first meditation, a girlfriend of mine said, look, I'll put you in a room with a timer. She was doing TM. Just make up a mantra. So I made up a really simple mantra, and she said, just say it over and over till the alarm goes off. I said, okay. So about halfway in, all of a sudden, I was in an alt reality, and there was a woman, and it became clear I was in India in a very parched scene. Parched land and a cliff, and she jumped off the cliff to her death. And trailing behind her was a red sari that she was wearing. And I much later learned from an Indian friend of mine that that's often what happened when invading kingdoms, when invading forces came in and overcame a kingdom, where they would take the wives of the king and they would dress in their red saris, their wedding dresses, and then commit suicide. And so for years it stuck with me because I was watching it in slow motion and thought, where did this come from? And many years later, I realized it was me. So that was my very first touch with something alt in a very specific way. And then, of course, many, many things started unfolding after that.
Of course they did. But you began your career. We often forget that now because you're so well known in this field. But you began your career in mainstream journalism before moving into more spiritual and esoteric. Well,
There
fully
was no
esoteric.
esoteric journalism at the time, not on TV.
What was the turning point when you just decided this is where I'm going now?
When I was a news anchor, I actually convinced the news director to let me do a during the ratings week called Sweeps Nielsen Ratings Week in America. It's where, they all the stations get their numbers back and you find out what works and doesn't and who's going to make it and who's not. So it was one of those weeks. And I talked the news, I was an anchor, a news presenter, and I talked the news director into allowing me to do a 1 week feature on psychic phenomena and how it works, which was very, very unusual. In fact, I dare say, I don't think any other news program had that on in America, certainly. So I did it, and during that, one of the shows I did was on Russell Targ. And Russell Targ, of course, is very, very famous now because at the time I didn't know that they were funded by the CIA and that their remote viewing experiments had to do with training spies. I didn't know that, but they did a very famous experiment in Russia, and at the end of it, the remote, and it was documented by Soviet Academy of Sciences and a Stanford Research Institute during the Cold War. During the Cold War, we were friends in the background. It was just all the puffery on the outside that was not the politicians. And so, as this woman successfully viewed the target in the remote viewing session, this really twisted me. I was told by Russell when he got back and I did the interview with him, got it first before 2020, he said, now the kicker here is that target was randomly chosen by a randomly. Generated by a computer and chosen 3 hours after she viewed the site. So now that really, now this is mid-80s. So that sent me down the rabbit hole of quantum physics, the nature of reality. And then I took it off into many years of hermetics and the architecture of how mind works, what we're created from. So I wanted to get down to the real quantum underpinnings of what we are, and that's where I live.
You do, and you've made a home there, and you open the doors to for other people to join you there, and that's what I love about your work. But we forget
Thank
how
you.
difficult it was several decades ago to talk about what we're talking about right now: soul, spirit, unseen psychic abilities, dreams, which is kind of the theme of this show.
Yes.
And it's because of pioneering visionaries like you who haven't stubbornly n not given up. There was a time when the skeptics were really, trying to shut
Oh,
on the woo-woo
I
tip.
mean, there was one man who was the American skeptic, and this fellow was brought on for everything. So every show I did, they said, "Well, you have to get a skeptical viewpoint." And I thought, 1-800, dial him up. He's going to say, "That's not possible." And then you'd have it in the show because you had to have, quote, fair and balanced reporting. And so he would simply say, "It's not possible." Well, of course, he knew that's what he was paid to do. The man didn't offer anything of value in terms of discrediting essentially the nature of reality that the physicists had already discovered by then.
Absolutely. Because if you were on a radio show and you came to offer a religious perspective, for example, say you were a religious authority, they wouldn't automatically bring on someone to complete an atheist,
No,
would they? So
they wouldn't challenge it.
why do they do it for psychic phenomena and
Well, we know
feedback?
the
Actually,
answer.
you are a precog because you preempted my next question because I see you as a fearless truth seeker. But have there been moments when your explorations challenged or transformed your personal beliefs?
Where my what?
When there've been
There was
moments.
one word you said I didn't get it. What did you say?
See you as a fearless truth seeker. But have there been moments when you've had a wobble yourself, when you've been seriously, your conviction has been seriously challenged? Have there been moments where you felt.
I have to say, honestly, no. My level of knowledge has been seriously challenged. Like that moment when I realized in the 80s, time is not at all what we think it is. It's totally fungible. The past, present, and future are all one. That's a hard thing to get your mind around when you're young and you don't have any support systems, which I did fortunately find some books on quantum physics to start understanding it a little better. But so what's challenged is my intellect in terms of understanding exactly how it all works. And there's some things that are nearly unfathomable to most human minds. So I'll fall in that category, but I'm always looking at it and trying to understand the nature of things. In terms of once I feel I've grokked it, I feel pretty good with that. I don't feel like, oh, I made a mistake. That doesn't happen. I really look into it beforehand and I feel my way into it. I really feel things first.
So your curiosity, your empathy, your compassion, your intuition, they just pull you through when you do have moments where you feel challenged or,
Yeah, just you have to dig deeper, sit back. All right, what I do, it's a little cheating, but I go to my guides. I just sit down, meditate, talk with my higher self or my guides and say, "Hey, what's this about? Can you give me some more details about it?" And then they'll flesh things out for me, so to speak. And I'll say, "Okay, now that makes sense." So I have my own private team of support, but that's part of my soul group. I'm from there and them, I'm part of them. So they will straighten me out if I'm not perceiving it exactly correctly. So yeah, that's where I go.
I love the term soul group, but for listeners of UK Health Radio who may be new to that, are you talking about your intuition, your dreams here? What
Well,
are you talking about?
also, I think most people are comfortable with the notion now that we have angels and spirit guides and such that are trying to help us through life. And that is mainstream. People have read so many stories now about people who have, like, for example, been in an accident and felt like they were literally floating and carried by something that stood there with them and was with them when they landed and somehow saved them. These are common stories. So we're not alone. We're surrounded by lovely beings that are just in a phased off dimension we can't see, but they're always there to help us through health issues, through everything. All we have to do is say, "I would love to engage with you and receive some help." You don't even have to see them, know what they're like, or anything. Just ask for help. That's one thing humanity doesn't do. And that includes asking for help from our higher selves. From our higher self has the connection to everything. It has the connection to the knowledge. It has the frequencies that can come in and begin to start healing us. So often, if I'm in trouble physically, for example, I do call on my higher self and say, "I know my mind doesn't fully understand all the chemistry or structure of this. So would you come in and work on me while I'm sleeping," for example. So you have to ask, just ask for a little help. It's there. And it's always there when it comes to our, whether it's mental, emotional, physical help. We have oodles of help around us, but particularly from our own higher self.
I can feel listeners experiencing those inner fireworks. Thank you, Regina. We do have to cut to the material world and take a short break now, but you don't want to go away, anyone. Stay with me. See you on the other side.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears. Beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everyone. And I'm here with the visionary Regina Meredith. And I'd like to talk now in this section about your role on Gaia TV and your show Open Minds, which has become a hub for deep spiritual inquiry. What's your guiding intention when you sit down with your guests?
I only ever have one intention, and that is I've already researched them, and I've used my intuition as well as my mind to look at where the deepest kernels of helpful truth are. A lot of times I have 45 minutes in an interview to convey as much as possible. So I'm there to support them bringing out their deepest nuggets of truth and not wasting a lot of time on superfluous things, basically.
Well, I've experienced the Regina laser focus. I've been in the hot seat there, and I can tell you, she gets right down to the heart of the matter, and you find yourself sharing things that you didn't realize you were going to.
That does happen a lot. Well, there's an altered state that we go into. When most people don't know that in the studio, I kind of close my eyes and get into a slightly altered state, like as though it's a mild self-hypnosis before the show, so that I can flow with the mind of the person I'm interviewing. I know that may sound a little strange to people, but I do go into deep resonance, as you know, with whoever's in front of me, which is, I think, why they tell me things they don't normally say publicly.
The mind meld that goes on. It's
that's the intention.
And you yield some wonderful truths from your guests. Thank you. But in the age of information overload right now, we've got so many spiritual YouTube channels, psychic development channels. How do you keep your interviews grounded in authenticity and clarity rather than, you know, sensationalism?
That is my personal agenda, is to stay with what I feel has truth and value. And it's becoming an issue now, I have to tell you, because all of the different podcasts, the different alternative networks out there are all caving to what society's being driven to. Sensational headlines. You'll notice the thumbnails when you go and watch a podcast where the faces are distorted, like they've just had the shock of their lives, ugly and distorted. And when people interview me, I tell them, don't do that. Don't put that my face up like that. That's not what I represent. And I've gotten blowback on it. And so for me now, it's getting more and more difficult. Look, the thing that's going on is humanity's biggest problem is we're being driven by all this distraction and disinformation into confusion and a lower state of consciousness. And we're supposed to be riding a higher state right now. We're supposed to be going into a much more coherent state of awakening in consciousness, and everything is pushing us away from that. And I'm trying to fight against that as best I can by saying, no, this isn't the time to grab headlines. It's a time to really, really feel your own truth in the information, which means being more quiet, more thoughtful, more reflective. But you see that these shows out there are taking us in the opposite direction. So I am devoted to staying with what I feel is the most useful information and the highest truth I can access.
You're right about those thumbnails. I've been even asked by hosts, what's the most sensational one we can get? Even if it doesn't actually reflect what was going on in the interview, and they tell me it's all about the hooks. It's all about the hooks. And it's just frustrating because I know they want the views, but it's you know, people who are meant to listen to it will. That's how I think. But I guess it's their living. It's the material world again.
It's a problem. It's a problem right now because it's driving consciousness lower, not higher.
Yes.
Even though the guests may be wonderful and have wonderful things to say.
Yeah. And you're right about thumbnails. Usually they get, I mean, especially with me, I mean, some of them awful, you know, they get you at just that moment.
Oh, like, it's horrible.
You can't see it, everyone, but Regina.
Oh, no, I'm on the war path with this right now, and I'm colliding with kind of everybody.
Good, carry on.
Just stop it.
Raptor, I love that. And we're going to talk about the future of humanity and your amazing book, Future Human, towards the close of this interview. But let's just take a little deep dive into dreams and inner wisdom, given the title of this show is all about the healing power of dreams, with your eyes open and closed. But what role have dreams played in your own spiritual or creative life, Regina?
Well, it depends on the dream, of course, but I've had the big dreams, you know, the series that we have. You know, in life, do most people, Teresa, have the big dream where you're offered a chance to do something, learn something, and then maybe a year or two later, you're offered it again, but at a higher or more challenging level. So I have, what to me I've learned is that dreams are a wonderful place where we're actually practicing our outcomes for taking back into this dimension. So I've been through these series of very challenging dreams, which is, I mean, like overcoming gravity, for example, being in a white room closed in with a tiger and no doors and no way out, and having to use my mind to soothe and communicate with the tiger until it would lie down and we were friends. Overcoming gravity in a car driving other people where I had to do a concave turn, you know, and get up over the edge. And I realized that these were continuations of similar dreams that showed me I was preparing myself. I was ready. I was conquering the unconquerable. And so to me, I loved those series of dreams. So those are the really big ones in life. And of course, there are the others that are more everyday.
Yeah. And you're talking about dreams that kind of awaken or alert you to your untapped higher potential. Mm-hmm. And those unconscious inner shifts, which are so important, because what we are inside is what we tend to attract on the outside. Do you also think that they can guide you towards the future human within, you know, your vision for the future of humanity?
And I think it, sure, absolutely. It gives us little glimpses of it. And I often glimpse, and it's interesting because I often, most of the time, I'm really not in this world in my dreams. Mm-hmm. The world that I'm in is probably another dimension of Earth where I'm playing these things out and working with large groups of people, but it's an Earth that is huge landscapes. Everything, every hill is massive and rolling. Every little pond is huge. And when we fly or we can bound across large bodies of water and such. And so I don't know if it's showing me another aspect of Earth or whether it's showing me more what we'll be capable of in the future. That I'm not clear on.
Do you have a very vivid dream life, or depending on your schedule, do you find you dream more in one location or one, you know, stage in your life? You know, right
all
now,
of the above.
All of the above, right.
Yeah, it depends. Where, like, sometimes I was in Italy recently and my dreams were very awake and wild, but I was in a place that was wonderfully quiet. Everything was very quiet. Where I live is very quiet. I have very little interference with, you know, things like noise from streets. Even I don't have a lot of Wi-Fi or towers around me. So at my own home too, but that will depend on my schedule. you know, oftentimes, because I'll be very aware of my dreams and think, oh, this is interesting. I'll have to talk to someone about this when I wake up. And then I wake up and it's like, okay, got to go. And I forget all about it. So I'm very disappointed in myself that way, that I often forget upon awakening.
Oh, but have you had any precognitive dreams, dreams that, you know?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's helped me avoid stock market crashes. I dreamt before one of our shots, I think it was a missile that was going into outer space. I dreamt of it going down the night before it went down. I literally dreamt of the stock market going down, got out the next day, and the next day it crashed. So yeah, I have precognitive dreams. I had a dream about my mother had died, and I was just starting to recover from it. It was a shock. She wasn't sick. It was a shock. And then I had a dream that someone very close to me, the beings, my soul group, I could hear them. I drove into this place and they said to me, they turned my engine on after I turned it off. So I thought, pay attention. So they told me, we know you've been through loss and pain. There is more to come, but we will be with you. Again, these wonderful beings, we will be with you. And 5 days later, the woman that was, I was my mother and her best friend and my elder lady friend, my ballet teacher and mentor, the wild Madame Bovee, all had a beautiful brunch in January for New Year's. I never saw either of them again. Then my mentor died right after that dream. And I just didn't know who it was, but I was mentally prepared. And many other, there are many others. Yes, I have precognitive dreams.
Wow. I mean, I just actually think precognitive dreams are increasingly becoming the norm as more
yes.
of us waken up to the fact that we are dreaming beings having a human experience. But it's going to be very interesting because I saw online that you're going to do a cruise, aren't you? Or go on a
yes.
voyage. And I thought, that's interesting. I must do a shout out to Regina. And then like 5 minutes later, sold out.
Oh, yeah. It sold out like in a couple of days. we have a long wait list on it, apparently. A lot of people want to come with us. So I think we'll probably do the one in January and then do another one in 2026 for the people who couldn't make it on this one. I've never been to Egypt. I've avoided it. A lot of interviewees have invited me to come on their tours. And I didn't feel it until now. So now I pay attention to timing of things. When your being says now, that means now. And it wasn't now until now. All these years passed, it was not the time.
Egypt with Regina, you know, inspiring you and talks. My goodness, I can understand why it did. And going to be very interesting what your dreams are when you're there.
Oh my gosh, I'll be curious too.
Now let's talk about Future Human, an amazing book co-authored with intuitive channeler Lee Harris, and it explores mm-hmm. humanity's evolution. It's been a bestseller, understandably. But how do you, Regina, personally define the future human?
It's many people that I interview and who write books on the subject of ascension believe that the human
awakening is it for people who don't know these stuff that
spiritual awakening yeah. they use the word ascension into a higher state of being or consciousness often think that we're going to be very very different, and in fact we will be quite different a few hundred years down the road because we are evolving. But as I see the future human, we are us, and we're simply going to the next level of our intellect, of emotion. The thing that stunts the human species is our emotions, because we are manipulated emotionally a lot by media and such, and to keep us not just curious but mostly frightened. So we want to follow a story because we've had fear instilled in us. So this is going to be a big deal in the future, where humanity is going to start, and this is interesting and I've witnessed it, is going to start thinking more with their heart. This is a very big point in the book that's made repeatedly, and many, many other people are writing about and picking up the same thing. Right now, we think that this is the smartest part of us, and it is not. We have a much higher mind, and that higher mind is in direct relationship to our heart, and the heart is unfiltered. So I tell people, I give them this little exercise sometimes, which is fun, which is to just take a minute or two in your day as an experiment and think of something that you have found annoying, something like, you know, it's just grinding on you a little bit, and you're ready to kind of come to a snap judgment on it, for example. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a small thing. Take that. Take a couple of breaths, almost put that in a thought cloud, that and the feeling with it, like, okay, I've got it. Take a couple of breaths, drop that very thought and feeling down into the heart, breathe with it just a few breaths, and see what you get. See if that message doesn't soften. See if it doesn't turn out less judgmental, more accepting. And that's where we're headed. As a species, that is the biggest thing about us that we're doing. And in the book, it says this too. We're coming into a time when we're a heart-centered species, meaning we have emotional and mental and wisdom, clarity and spiritual wisdom, because the heart has the wisdom already embedded within it.
It does. And I love this because I often talk about dreams as whispers from the heart.
Yes.
That come at that just the nocturnal version. But
we can start now. We don't have to wait to be future human. We can practice with that now. Just that little exercise I gave, for example, if you do that every time you're annoyed with someone, your response to them is going to be very, very different. And we're going there as a species. Imagine if we lived like that all the time, where we drop that thing in, that notion of irritation, into our heart and say, oh gosh, you know, I don't need to overreact to this. It's not a big deal. They have good intentions. That's where we end up when we're coming from the heart.
Sublime. Thank you. What was it like blending your voice with Lee? Let's talk about Lee at the moment. He's kind of a rock star at the moment, isn't he?
Oh, he's a total rock star. Lee's a total rock star.
He's a musician as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, Lee and I are already very much in sync. And I've known him for years. And I'm very comfortable with the group that he channels called the Z's. And so between Lee and I, he just said, go for it. Anything you want to ask them. So what I did was I went into a meditative state, chatted with my higher self and my guides, and formed the questions for the book coming from that state of mind. I didn't want it to be ordinary. I wanted it to be meaningful and meaningful into the future. And so I went about blending my higher guidance with his higher guidance, and that the book is the result of that.
And I was honored because I actually met you both when you were doing the recordings here in the UK.
It was wonderful.
And I could sense the invisible string. It was like you were both so into this project. It was very interesting to watch.
We were shooting at the time, and we were totally entangled and out of our bodies when we were doing this. So we were lifted to someplace else and just out of it. And we had tea with you during that with our friend Lawrence.
Absolutely, yes, Lawrence as well was there, and I do. And I was, you know, a big cream tea. Of course, it's Britain. And
yes, it was lovely.
Saying, I feel more grounded now.
yes. Nothing like cream tea to ground a person.
It exhausted him, actually. But anyway, many listeners at the moment feel the world is at a crossroads. It really feels like it's at boiling point. Yes. What signs do you see that a higher consciousness is emerging despite this chaos?
Well, I think people, just the recognition that what's going on is not natural, it's not normal, and it's wrong. I think people in general are waking up to the notion, we can't support this anymore. Something interesting is happening in America. I don't know if Brits have any you know, follow the news.
Oh, it's about all over the news here. And sometimes it often leads it. You know, it's almost like it leads it. We are very in tune with what's
well,
happening.
Then what I feel is incredibly hopeful is the presence, for example, of the young 34-year-old Muslim American man in New York City going against the established politicians, the old school that have been running things for so long. This is incredibly hopeful. People starting to speak up, even the governor of California standing up and saying, this is wrong. We've got to call it out. We've got to fight fire with fire. This has never been done in this country. It's never had to be done before. So the fact that there is finally some rebellion, because this period of time is about rebellion. This next period of time, as this group that we channeled said, is for the until 2033, we're looking at a time of upheaval and rebellion and just ridiculous theater. So if people think something's wrong and it has to be corrected, we're already awakened on the right path. Now we just have to do something about it, whatever we can do about it. Absolutely. So action is required, not just observation.
Yeah, and we're seeing it here in the UK with the hiatus surrounding Prince Andrew. People power is coming to the fore. Exciting times.
Interesting, the king really...
Unprecedented.
I was shocked that he did that. Well, not shocked, because I think Charles actually has a good character underneath everything. So not shocked, but surprised.
Thank you. Well, everyone listening will be... both shocked in a great way and surprised in a great way by your vision and brilliance, Regina, today. Thank you so much. And as the fireworks fade across the November sky, let's take a moment to honor the sparks that have been lit within us tonight. Regina, where can people find out about you? What's the best way if people are new to you and your work?
Okay, well, then go to Gaia.com, which is the Open Mind show. There you have to become a member, but they make it easy for the first month or so. And then I also do commentaries about my thoughts and observations about everything going on and how we can engage with it to start changing internally and stepping it up into that higher consciousness ourselves. So my commentaries are on under my own name at ReginaMeredith.com. And they're out there on YouTube and under my channel, under Regina Meredith.
My heartfelt thanks to you, Regina. I know you're such a busy lady, you have to rush off now, but you have reminded us in this interview that awakening isn't about escaping reality. It's about dreaming a higher one into being. You have invited us to see that the future human isn't a distant ideal, but something already stirring within us, a more luminous, compassionate, and conscious version of who we can be. So as you drift into your own dreams tonight, ask not what the world is showing you, but what your soul is ready to reveal, because every dream is an ember of potential waiting to ignite the light of your becoming. Going to take another ad break right now, but stay with us for more surprises.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the healing power of your dreams here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. You've just been listening to Regina Meredith, host of Open Minds on Gaia TV, sharing her reflections on the future of humanity, spiritual awakening, and the way dreams can open doors to higher states of consciousness. Now, before we move on, I just want to briefly tackle the big question I'm asked time and time again, the elephant in the room of dream work. What if I can't remember my dreams? So here's a dream recall hack that might just help. When you wake up and no images, symbols, or stories immediately surface, try this. Instead of forcing it, connect with the emotional tone, how you feel. Ask yourself gently, how do I feel right now, before your thoughts start racing? Sometimes that feeling is the invisible thread you need to pull on. As you follow it, fragments begin to return, colors, people, scenes, sensations. Remember, dreams speak not only in symbols, but also through emotion. And if your dream recall is really limited, maybe because of medication, stress, or disrupted sleep, please don't be discouraged. Daydreaming and mind wandering are simply daylight versions of the same dreaming mind. Those moments when your imagination drifts, let them happen. Don't interrupt, follow them. Set aside just a few minutes a day with your phone switched off and allow yourself to drift. You'll be amazed how your intuition, creativity, and empathy begin to spark, all expressions of the same inner dreamer guiding your night vision. Now, speaking of communities that celebrate the soulful exploration, we were just talking about Gaia TV, which continues to lead the way in sharing authentic spiritual voices and soul truths. Think of it as a kind of spiritual Netflix. And I have to say, I dream of this show doing something similar, bringing together deep thinkers and dreamers from all walks of life. So I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you're dreaming about. Ask questions. Share your out-of-this-world stories. When the show is live, you can join the conversation via a Zoom link on the Healing Power of Dreams page at UK Health Radio. Or if you prefer, email me directly at thehealingpowerofyourdreams@gmail.com. That's the healingpowerofyourdreams@gmail.com. I read every message and I'll do my best to answer or share your insights each week live on the show. Your dreams, your stories, your reflections, they're what make this community so vibrant and alive. Now, Gaia, of course, is US-based, but here in the UK, we have our own wonderful connection point for conscious conversation, alternative healing, and spiritual awakening, the Festival of Mind, Body, and Spirit. It's a celebration of holistic healing that runs every year in Birmingham each November and at Olympia, London, every April. Now, I've had the honour of speaking on the main stage many times over the years there, and the energy there, that collective dream power of people who know they are dreaming beings, is truly tangible. It's a vibration of hope, connection, and expansion that you can feel. And that's why I'm absolutely delighted now to welcome centre stage our next surprise guest, Rosalind Moody. She's an author, life coach, podcaster, and the brilliant programmer behind the Festival of Mind, Body, and Spirit. Rosalind, welcome. It's such a joy you're here.
Hi, Teresa. How are you? I love being here. Thank you.
Oh, welcome. Welcome. Now, for listeners who may not know your background, can you share a little about your own personal journey, your writing career and latest title, and your brand new podcast? And what drew you into the world of spiritual development and ultimately to curating the Festival of Mind, Body and Spirit?
Yes, absolutely. So I always grew up very curious about the world. I studied philosophy at university, which completely boggled my parents. And then after that, went on my own millennial eat, pray, love kind of journey, found some spiritual awakening in Bali and Thailand and had lots of fun and just had a look at what spirit had to tell me. That formed the basis of my book, The Spark, and which I didn't even know I was writing, by the way. And when I returned back to the UK, I accidentally on purpose manifested a promotional job, like a job that was in promotion to what I was doing before I left, as the editor of Soul and Spirit magazine. And that was the first official spiritual professional position that I had. And from there, I learned on the job. It was the best job in the world. I got such a great spiritual education from everyone we worked with, columnists, writers, even readers, the experts I interviewed. And then I left to write the book that I'd been accidentally writing all that time. And again, the job of Mind, Body, Spirit kind of accidentally on purpose manifested that. And that was almost 2 years ago. So I've been programming Mind, Body, Spirit for 2 years. It's been a really happy 2 years. I've learned so much and the events are just so much fun. So alive.
And that's exactly what the Spark, your title is. Congratulations on that. It's a real fun. But it's fun, but it's also very deep and profound. It's about the search for soul connection and meaning in life. But the festival, we're here to talk about that because it is a gathering of dreamers, isn't it, and visionaries. How long has the Mind Body Spirit Festival been running? Because I remember going there decades ago. But what was the first festival and who founded it? What's the history?
Yes, I can tell you. So we've actually been running almost 50 years. Can you believe that?
Oh, I'm giving away my age.
Never. No, it was founded in 1977 by a man called Graham Wilson. And if people want to find out more, we've actually got a page all about our history on our website, mindbodyspirit.co.uk. So Graham Wilson founded it. I hear all about the heyday back in the Royal Horticultural Halls in London. So since then, we've moved to Olympia in London, where we host every May, late May bank holiday. And we've only been in Birmingham 10 years. This festival coming up next weekend is going to be our 10th birthday, and we can't wait to celebrate, and we hope everyone will come to our party.
Yeah, the Birmingham Festival of Mind, Body and Spirit is just a week away. So, what can visitors look forward to this year? Are there any new themes, workshops, or speakers that you're especially excited about? And how can people visit it or book? Where can they find it? And how does it differ from the event at London Olympia? Lots of questions there, Roz, but I'm sure you can process them all.
Yeah, I hope to do them justice. We have got so much going on for our 10th birthday in Birmingham at the NEC. I'm looking at the brochure now. We've packed it on. Honestly, our graphic designer had a real problem getting all of the activities on. We've got all the standard things that people really love when they come to Mind Body Spirit. We've got sound baths, ecstatic dance, yoga, ceremonies, healing situations. We've got what else we've oh my God, so much. We've got well-being, breath work, intuition, psychic readings, aura readings, psychic platform work, workshops, headline keynote talks, confidence talks. We've got Paul McKenna. We've got Teresa doing a lovely dreams talk. We can't wait for you on the Saturday. So from the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to just take over the hall at the NEC. And we've got a few very, very special names gracing the main stage. Teresa's one of them. We've got headliners such as Paul McKenna. We've got a very, very special sneak peek. We only released yesterday, which is Rebecca Campbell is going to be joining us on the main stage on Saturday. We've got Francesca Amber. We've got Emma Mumford. We've got so much. We've got Jade Shaw. We've got Nikki Allen doing a psychic workshop. We've got Chloe Smith, who's Chloe Mediumship, doing a special little workshop. We've got drum circles. We've got Yaakov Darling Khan doing some movement medicine, some shamanic sat nav work, some
Oh my
intuitive
word.
work. It's just, we've got astrology. We've got the resident astrologer from this morning coming on, Hagen Fox. We've literally got it all. I can't tell you how much we've got. Otherwise, I'd be reading out the brochure.
It's brilliant, and it's rare these days to have something in person, isn't it? Because so much of it is online. I mean, I often feel zoomed out. I've come up with that expression. I'm zoomed out
Yes.
on the phone. This is wonderful that you're doing that. What is the cost? I mean, because obviously these days everybody's thinking about, cost effective. So can you share how much it costs to enter the festival? And then when you're in the festival, do you have to pay on top of that, just so that people are aware of the cost for entering it?
Yeah, good question. We keep it very, very high value, low cost. We're a £20 a day entrance ticket, and that's £20 to get in for the whole day, and so much is included in that price. There are a few additional experiences, add-on experiences that you can add on to your day if you'd like to, such as a Nikki Allen workshop, a Chloe Mediumship workshop, a drum circle, maybe a sound bath. But they're few and far between. So that means if you really want to go, you need to book your ticket quite fast. But there is so much going on that you don't have to book additionally at all. We've got a huge exhibitor marketplace as well to do your Christmas shopping, but there's no obligation to buy anything at all. You might want to buy something for yourself rather than for someone else's Christmas presents. But there is so much value packed in. You could literally pay £20 on the door and see so, so much for
it's
that price.
So many free events, you know, like my talk's free. I insist on that. There's so much there that's free if you do go. And if you can't make it to Birmingham, it's 3 days it runs over, isn't it, next weekend? So would
yes.
you dates? It's always 3 or 4 days, is it?
Yes, in Birmingham, it's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you'd be surprised at the amount of people there on Friday. They're not at work. They're having a great time with us. We love it. And
we're
then Saturday and Sunday.
Spiritual work, Ross.
Doing spiritual work. Yes, exactly. Partying with the spirit guides. Saturday and Sunday are bustly, but there's always places that you can go to chill out. There's yurts. There's chill out areas. We've got a new area this time called the Center Circle where you can go and make friends.
Ross, that word yurt. I haven't heard that for a while. Yurt. What is a yurt?
It's like a cozy little womb space, like a tent. It's a tent within a hall. It feels a bit weird having a tent up indoors, but once you get in and there's lovely drapes and lighting and you're just being bathed in sound, it's so nice.
Lovely. And if you can't make Birmingham, Olympia is typically April, am I correct? And that's 3 to 4 days. Because I've done, this is my first time in Birmingham, actually. I usually do Olympia because I live closer to London. So Olympia, is that April, May?
It's May. We may well have been used. We may well have been in April before my time, but these days it's the late May bank holiday, so it's always around the kind of 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th ish of May each year at Olympia London, and it's 4 days, including the Friday and including the bank holiday Monday, which is always a blast.
Incredible feat to organize it all. Well done. And you always stay so calm and positive. You really do, because I can only imagine pulling it all together with all these people. So congratulations, because you've done it a couple of years now and you've
done such
a great job. Congratulations. But from your perspective, Rods, what is it about bringing people together in this way? Dreamers, seekers, healers, that creates such a powerful atmosphere of transformation at the festival?
Gosh, the energy in every circle, every year, every part of the festival is just electric. It's just what keeps me going. It's something to behold, and you can't describe it until you feel it. It's like nothing else. And because we're indoors, you know, we're not out in a field. We're very cozy, and we don't have to worry about the weather. There's just a lot of people coming together in that hall.
There's power in that, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely.
I love the fact that many people are listening to this show live, The Healing Power of Dreams, because I just love the collective energy. You can feel it. I get goosebumps when I do this show live, because you can feel the collective gathering. It's like prayer, isn't it? But for people, obviously, who can't travel, we've all got different circumstances. Do you offer online activities as well and events?
Yes, all throughout the year, we've got workshops online, webinars online. We have musicians playing in different parts of cities. We've got people like Paul McKenna, Krishna Das, Nathan Kaur, Michelle Knight-Waite, Rebecca Campbell, doing all sorts of kind of seasonal events. They're online as well. So it's really what you can achieve, what you are capable of, what you want to go to. There's never any obligation to do anything. It's absolutely come as you are. There's no questions are silly, too big, too small. We keep prices really, really accessible. And our experts are just so grounding and so down to earth. I mean, you've met them all, your fellow presenters.
Oh, they're lovely.
They're a great
open
bunch.
Yeah, open, and there's a very open atmosphere there. But, you know, all of us are, you know, some of us are more extrovert than others. What if it's your first time, you're going alone, and you don't know anyone there? How will the festival make someone, you know, who's maybe a bit nervous, first time they've gone to a festival of mind, body and spirit, how do you make them feel welcome when they enter the doors?
Yeah, I love that. And it's a really valid question, because I've gone to festivals alone too. So they can start off at the entrance hall at our info desk with our really, really friendly MBS staff members. They can point you in the right direction if you want to tell them what you're interested in. The Centre Circle, which is a place in the centre of the hall, is a place for sitting down, making friends, chatting. I mean, people are so friendly that you can break the ice very quickly. Or if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, if there's some needs you need to address, we've got a chill out space in one of the corners. You can easily find it on the floor plan or ask anyone to point you in the right direction. And the different areas of the festival have different feels. Like the wellbeing studio is for kind of movement, activity, breath work, meditation. The main stage is for kind of dancing and, and interactivity with the person on stage. Or if you want a one-on-one reading, you can sit down with an aura reader or a psychic reader. So you can always be chatting if you want, or you can always be meditating if you want.
Oh, Roz, thank you for sharing that. I guess, are you getting any sleep now with only a week to go? And if you are, what are you dreaming about?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, life doesn't slow down, does it? My dreams don't either. I dream a lot about the city I live in. I live in London, and I dream about kind of where I want to go and where I've been and the people I've met. Or maybe there are people in my dreams that I haven't realized I've met because they've been in some corner of my consciousness. I have some really crazy dreams sometimes. I dream of people that used to be in my life that aren't anymore. But I love remembering them. I write them down. I have a little WhatsApp journal, which is my WhatsApp thread with myself, and I kind of hold on to them. And yeah, I love dreaming, and I'm really looking into kind of being aware of my dreams when I'm in them at the moment.
Lucid dreaming, powerful lucid dreaming. Relationship with yourself that you're cultivating. Roz, thank you so much. Can you give details about the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival and yourself if people want to follow through?
Absolutely. So they can go to mindbodyspiritfestival.co.uk/Birmingham. There's a countdown there, so you can keep on track of when the festival's coming up, and you can buy your tickets straight through there on the big orange button. We're also on Instagram at MBS Wellbeing, so you can join us there and look at past shows and kind of vibe they've had. And I'm at Rosalind Moody on Instagram, rosalindmoody.com, if you want to reach out.
Thank you so much, Roz, for sharing your light, your dreams, and for everything you do to keep this beautiful gathering of visionary dreamers alive and evolving every year. And that brings us to the close of this week's episode of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. My heartfelt thanks again to Regina Meredith from Gaia TV for her wisdom and vision, and to Rosalind Moody from the MBS Festival for joining us. As we close, here's another dream surprise for you. Regina chose the perfect song to leave us with today, What the World Needs by Dionne Warwick. She feels, and I couldn't agree more, that this song beautifully expresses the direction of our dreams and the awakened, heart-centered future of humanity if we all start learning to dream about better things together. That's what guides us forward. So until next time, keep dreaming, keep awakening to higher and higher versions of your future self. And remember, your dreams are whispers from your heart and your soul calling your name.
Thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little.